Right, I have got in the house Pastor Adeoye Oyedeji, my very good friend, brother. We sharpen each other, I tell you, every single conversation. I tell my wife something, there are very, very, very few people. When I pick up the phone, I call them or they call me. You know, the conversation just leaves you sharpened. There's something God is saying. There's something God has said. There's something just to encourage one another. Even if it's just to say, I'm just ringing to say hello. That is how much Pastor Adeoye means to me. Tonight, we're going to be sharing together, breaking bread together, and looking at that study together. That theme of building the temple with finished stones. So please, Pastor Adeoye, you are welcome. Can we bring him on? Yes. Let him
it's come a pleasure.
On. Yes, sir.
It's a pleasure to be with you all. It's a pleasure to be with you all. Always is when I catch up with you. And we caught up this morning. So here I
That's
am
right.
fellowshipping with you. It's always a pleasure. Always a pleasure.
Delightful pleasure. You know, we were having a conversation this morning. And in a way, we've had a little bit of a similar experience. Coincidentally, you know, we're looking at building the temple with finished stones. For somebody who just stumbled on this broadcast and you're wondering, what's this all about? You just hold on. Watch till the end. You will have a better understanding of what we're talking about. You know, there's a building. It's a temple. It's built with stones. Someone is building, and what are these stones? Who is the builder? That's the bread of life. Pastor Adeoye and I will be breaking tonight. You know, back to our conversation this morning, Pastor Adeoye. You know, we've had some similar experiences in terms of we both lead a church. You lead a congregation in Ellesmereport. Everybody, New Creation Center is in Ellesmereport. In the Wirral, across the river to where we are in Liverpool here. Liverpool, we are the proper Scousers. They are the woolly backs. They've got wool on their backs. Just joking now. I hope somebody's not offended now. They've got Jesus, right? Yeah, the people
we do.
Across the water, they've got Jesus, and Jesus has got their back. So we change them from woolly backs to Jesus backs. Right. So we were discussing, we want to lead people. And one thing this COVID pandemic is clearly stating to the world and even to the church is taking our focus off a physical structure, which is the building, and actually taking our focus to what God is actually building, which is people, individual lives, you and I. So you were sharing with me about, you know, a similar experience we had with buildings, while you and I as pastors were, you know, kind of, yeah, looking for church buildings. We found out suddenly, it seems like those physical structures are eluding us. And you shared something very, very profound, and I want to read it here, and I will ask you to expand on that, and then we'll go into the scriptures tonight. Now, you said, and I kind of paraphrased it, I have been meditating on it since that time we discussed. I'm just looking for it on the way I wrote it down, what God is actually doing, that while we are looking for the physical building, buying a building is different from God building us up. So we want to buy the physical structure, a building, but then there's another building God is interested in. Can you expand on that, sir?
Yes, I mean, these things tend to happen, you know, out of what I think human beings' disappointment And we become reflective and we go to God with all sorts of questions and asking that why are the things one is praying for or believing God for? So mine was a very similar presentation and episode. You know, our building, we've leased it for the last 12 years. And the original plan, at least my plan, was that we will own it. And you know, when we bought it, you know how the state it was in, very derelict, very run down. And over the last 10, 12 years, we have gradually brought it into a state where it has become quite a prideful center, or a center of pride in Ellesmere Port. But I had said to the original owners that I wasn't going to be extending any more lease. I was going to buy the building. So the lease finished yesterday, 30th of September. Wanting to get the building, pray for the building. And one way or the other, we haven't been able to, you know, get our hands on it, so to speak. And then I went to God in prayer and said, Lord, this building, you know, what's going on? And the Lord, you know, in my own conversation with said to me, no, you have your focus wrong. That you are the one who is interested in buying the building. My building is you. You are the one I am building up. And the building, the physical building, has just been a tool that I've given to you over the years, a place to meet, to worship, to gather. But you are really the building. The people are the building. You know, so that again, of course, comforted to summarize that the physical building that we all crave to buy or to own or to lease or to rent, they are not what God looks at. You know, the building is you, really you and I. And as pastors, we are guilty of focusing on the building. We want to own it. We want to renovate it. We want to do all sorts of things with it. But God set me aright and said, no, the building he's really interested in is us. The Christians who initially are born as human clay, you know, but then when they become born again, they become stones, precious stones. And then God, in our Christian journey, walks with us, builds us and turns those stones that are precious into gems, you know, and scripture solidifies this and, you know, explains this, where you have the concept of precious stones or stones in the Old Testament, the temple you are looking at, you know, but then you transition into the New Testament where Jesus Christ says, I am the chief cornerstone, you know, again, in the context of the building, you know, and then Peter, who again in the gospel, Jesus said, Peter, for this revelation, you are going to become, you know, I will build my church on this revelation stone. You know, and then when you get to the epistles of Peter, you see Peter is one who expatiates on this concept of precious stones and calls us the living stones in 1 Peter chapter 2. You know, and then when you transition through the whole journey, you see it arrives in the New Jerusalem in Revelation, where we all come together. We've become the building that God has built together to become this holy city, this beautiful city in the New Jerusalem. You know, and you know, Paul, who gives us a lot of our New Testament theology and doctrine and our way of thinking, tells us very clearly in Ephesians chapter 2, you know, I believe it's the last verse, I think it's 20 to 22. You know, it says that the Holy Spirit's work is to build us all together into a building fit for purpose, which is for God to come and inhabit. So we are the stones. We are the stones. We become the holy temple of God. If that is a good summary, into this.
So the focus moved from what we as human beings, pastors, are trying to acquire, build. You know,
Chief.
Last month, coincidentally, we were looking at what was really our inheritance in God. And we came on the back of knowing clearly, number one, God is our inheritance.
Yep.
What God craves is relationship.
Yes.
And as the more we relate with him, he builds us up. Now,
he
I will
does.
Share my screen so that we can break it down. And, you know, I am also mindful that we might have one or two people there you know, watching this broadcast and you don't really, you know, you're wondering really what's the stones, the building, what's this all about? Okay, there's a story in 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 7. The full story, if we read it down to, I think, like verse number 12 or thereabout, we get right a full story of it. But we want to pick this out, and Pastor Abdul, I want us to look at these two. You know, we're breaking bread tonight, and yes, bread is the word of God also.
It is.
In a, you know, metaphorical way. You know, here was Solomon. The Bible says, and the temple, 1 Kings chapter 6 and verse 7, which is where we got this theme from for this month. It says, and the temple, when it was being built, was built with stone, finished at the quarry, so that no hammer or chisel or any iron tool was heard in the temple while it was being built. Now, if we look at this scripture here, we see, all right, the temple is being built with stone. But the stone that is used to build this temple had to be finished first at the quarry. Now, you quoted a scripture, which is the next one I'm going to show on the screen, and then we'll come back to kind of try and piece this together based on what you're saying. And also mindful of the fact that there are one or two people who might just still be confused. They just stumbled on, in quotes, like a religious program. And they have no clue. So we will have to kind of break this down a little bit, simplify. Now, the next scripture is the one you quoted, where Peter now said, you believers, like living stones, you are built up into a spiritual house for a holy and dedicated priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable and pleasing to God through Christ. So that's that first thing again. The temple is being built. It's been built with stone. The stone is finished at the quarry, so that when the temple is being built itself, when the stones are being laid one on another, there is no tool, no chiseling. So the stones are finished at the quarry. And back to the scripture again, we read before, tells us that these believers are likened to living stones. So I will pause my screen here, because how does this apply to us? What can we draw out from the way the stones are being made, finished, chiseled, hammered from the quarry before they are brought to the temple site, where they are now put on one another? And if we, believers in Christ, are now that living stone. So if someone is not a believer in Christ and they are watching, maybe they can learn one or two things also from here. But I wanted to say something about these two scriptures. You know, let's examine them together. You know, so
let me expand on it like this. You know, when it's important to, I always teach my brothers and sisters to see the entire Bible in the context of what God Himself is doing.
Yeah? Mm-hmm.
For the sake of time, let me just put it together this way. You know, when you go to the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, you will see there in chapter 5, I believe, that the Father is sitting on the throne and he's holding a scroll in his hand. The scroll has seven seals. And the person who's giving us a picture into that says, who is going to open this scroll? They couldn't find anybody to open the scroll. And, you know, so John begins to cry. You know, then the angel who is talking to John says, no, don't cry. You know, the lion of the tribe of Judah, you know, he's able to open the scroll. So that's what the angel said. When John looks, John sees a lamb that has been slain but is alive. And the angel sees the lion. John sees a lamb. Now, the Bible says that this lamb has seven eyes. When you track it back into the Old Testament and you look at the context of seven eyes, you will see that the seven eyes is given to us in a picture in Zechariah of a stone that has seven eyes. So all of a sudden, again, because of time, you see that from man's perspective, from our own perspective, human beings, when we look to our Messiah, to the Lord Jesus Christ, we see a lamb. From the angel's perspective, when they look to Jesus, they see the lion of the tribe of Judah. But from God's perspective, you see, when he begins to explain to us what he is doing, he shows us a stone. So I began to ponder on this, think about this, and realize that, you know, what we need as human beings is Jesus being our savior. So we see the lamb. However, what God desires is a building that requires stones to build. So if not for sake of asking questions, whose view is most important? Is it man's view, angel's view, or God's view? No, I believe it's God's view. Now, the other views are important, but you must understand that those other views are like a process. The most important view is the stone that God is building. So that brings us into what Peter is saying. You know, Peter is saying, look, salvation brings you in. But in salvation, you are saved, but you are not a finished work yet. You are a stone that is being perfected. You are not fully perfect. So that gives your earthly work, for me, a lot of meaning, that I am on earth so that God can perfect these stones. The earth, you see, is like your quarry, Q-U-Q-A-R-R-Y, that you've read.
That's right.
The earth, your earthly work is like your quarry, yeah, where we are being perfected. But God is ultimately perfecting us for a purpose, not just for perfection's sake, but for a purpose to use us to as building blocks of a building, which when you go to the end of the book Revelation, you will see the building there. It's called the New Jerusalem. So the purpose of our earthly work is to be perfected so that we are now made ready for this building. You see, when I began to see Christianity this way, it made a huge amount of sense to me. It began to give a lot of meaning to my day-to-day living, my week-to-week, month-to-month. I realized that God is doing something. I am now the stone in a quarry that is being perfected so that God, in my finished work, can then bring me and use me for that building. And in that era, when he's putting it together, that building, there will be no chiseling, there will be no panel beating, there will be no banging, no spray. No, this work has been done before we get there. That's the purpose of our earthly work, to be perfected, to be perfected, you know. And when you get to the end of the book, and with this, I finish this picture. When you get to the end of Revelations, you see Revelations 21, 22. You see how beautiful that city is, made of precious stones. You know, now 12 types of stones the Bible describes, 12 here being the number of completion, spiritual completion, but also important, the number of 3 into 4, 4 being the number of human, number of living things, 3 being the number of God, a multiplication, you know, a mingling together of God and his people. Where now God, and because the purpose of the temple is God living in us, you see. So to finish your question, we are being prepared, being perfected, being worked on in the quarry, which is our earthly work, for a time when we are ready, then God puts us into this building. You want to see the picture of the building? Get to the end of the book. You see how beautiful the building looks. And the Bible says God and his people have become one. The new Jerusalem, or the new heaven and the new earth. Okay, back to you, sir.
Awesome. Awesome. You know, you've brought a dimension to this. Very, very deep. Because someone is wondering, all right, we are believers now, we've become stones.
Mm.
But that stone, before the stone can fit into the temple, the stone is worked on in a quarry.
Yep.
And that quarry is this earth where
it's
we're
our earthly walk. It's our earthly walk.
And you know what, sir? I want someone watching this and listening to this now to try and understand what they are going through. Picture yourself as a stone that has been worked on to fit into a temple, God's temple. Now, these stones, I don't think they are having a nice time in the quarry, sir.
Oh, not at all. Not
they
at
are
all.
Being hammered.
Fully.
They are being COVID-19'd.
They are being put into shape. And you know, it's instructive when you are an engineer by training. You know that not all the stones in a building are not the same shape, same size, because they have different purposes. So you begin to see why my life journey on earth is different from yours. You see, the shape, the color, the dimension that God wants to get me to is different from you. But we are all stones, because if you come to my house, it is built with bricks, you know, and built with stones of some sort. Bricks is probably a poor example, because bricks has been burnt, but stones, these are stones without hand, without human hand. So the instrument of change for a stone is God. You know, a good example is a process called petrification, not putrefaction, now petrification, P-E-T-R-E-F-I-C-A-T-I-O-N, petrification. This is a process where you take a living thing. An example is, let's use a wood, yeah? You put it inside water, running water.
Right.
Now, you leave it there for a long time, a very long time. When you come back in time, what you are going to find out is that the shape of the tree or the wood remains the same, but the element of the tree has been removed. All the element inside has been washed away by the flowing water, which is now the Holy Spirit, who is the living water. But now all the minerals in that water has been deposited back into this tree. And when you try and carry it, it's so heavy, very heavy, because it is no longer a tree. It has been petrified. It has gone through a process of petrification. The same is true for you and for me. The Holy Ghost, the Bible says, out of you shall flow, you know,
rivers
of living. This is the Holy Ghost moving.
Yeah,
he's the builder of the church. So he's your builder. He's the one who walks on the stone in the quarry. And what he is doing is that he's flowing through. What he's doing, he's removing all of you and he's putting all of him. You know, he's removing all of you. All of you, Fola, the Holy Spirit, when he's passing through, washing through, dealing with you, again, you can say the washing of the water is your day-to-day living before God, dealing with you. He's washing you away, but he's now washing himself into you. This is what, you know, John the baptizer, the herald of Jesus Christ, he puts it this way in, you know, in John 3, verse 30, he says, I must decrease so that he will increase. You see? So this is the process of our daily lives. We are being washed clean All our impurities are being washed away. Then God's divine nature. This is why Peter, the Peter that we are reading from, remember how he starts? He says, we have become partakers of the divine nature. So the human nature is being washed away and divinity is being washed into us. This is the process that we are going through. You know, this is the process that we are going through. So it starts to give your earthly life a very divine meaning. And you begin to appreciate that God is working on you, working with you, working through you for a greater purpose, to turn you into a stone that is now fit for his building, of which you and I are part of that. Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. Jesus is the chief cornerstone. Amen.
And the chief cornerstone himself has gone through his own.
He's gone through his own dealing. He did.
Washing.
He did.
Bashing.
You got it. I remember even Peter, our brother Peter, in the days before his eyes were open, wanted to say to Jesus Christ, remember in Matthew, he says, Lord, you won't die. See what the Lord said to him, get thee behind me, Satan. You will not come and frustrate the plan of my father. My father has a plan, which is to have a building where he and his creation, the redeemed people, become one together. So, and Jesus needed to go to the cross. So Jesus died, he was buried, he resurrected, he ascended. The Bible says he's on the right hand of the Father, interceding for you and I. And that's why Hebrews tells us, you know that scripture, and lovely scripture in Hebrews, he says, because he was tempted as we are, but yet without sin. But nevertheless, he's able to understand and appreciate what we go through because he went through it himself. So yes, Pastor Fola, he himself was not spared the bashing, the breaking. The Bible says they whipped him, they broke him. They did all those things to him for us, but also because he too needed to go through that process. That's why the Bible calls Jesus Christ the first begotten. Jesus Christ is the only and unique Son of God. But the Bible calls him also the first begotten from the dead.
That's right.
So not only, and those are two different processes of Jesus. The first one is incarnation and human birth. The second one is death, resurrection, and ascension. Because it is in resurrection and ascension, he became the first begotten from the dead. He died, which is different from his incarnation when he was the unique Son of God. But that unique Son of God then died. And the Bible says the Holy Ghost then was able to be poured out for you and I. But Jesus resurrected, he ascended, he is continuing the work of the Father, which is to pray for you, pray for me, intercede for you and I, so that the Holy Spirit, who is now the one with us here, will comfort us, but take us through our own grinding. You cannot avoid it. One of my church members asked me today in our own WhatsApp forum and said, why do we pass through so much pain? I said, don't ask about the pain. Ask about where God is taking you to.
The purpose of the pain.
You got it. The purpose of the transformation. The purpose of the change. That's what the scripture you asked me to look at today, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. That's what it is. It says, don't be conformed to this world. Don't be conformed to this world, but be renewed by the full transformation of your mind. So that you can now pass through that process of good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So it begins to put all our lives, for me, in clarity, in purpose, and with the right from the right perspective.
Before you said the word petrified, and you are trying to describe petrification, I said,
yes,
that is it. That's where all probably the understanding now, when people say, I am petrified. So somebody's watching this. You are listening to this. You are going through some situation, circumstances. You are petrified. Listen, from what we have learned now, there's something you said. And thank you, because like I said, it's interactive and already comments going on the live stream. Somebody did comment, God is removing, because I wanted you to stress that again. God is removing all of me and replacing it with all of him.
That's it.
Are you telling me?
It is.
You know, the world we're living now, new words I imagine every day.
Things
have been redefined. Mm. But you see, I think we should start getting the real Bible definitions of things, of words. You know, for example, the word adultery, the dictionary talks about the physical act between a man and a woman.
Yes.
But Jesus said, no, it's the look, the thoughts. So we need to understand, you know, the real definitions of things. So I'm just saying now, to be petrified when you are going to petrification is when God is removing all of you.
Yeah.
So that he can draw all of him.
Removing the fear that makes you petrified. He's removing it.
Fear itself too. Because
so that he can fill you with his love.
That's
you
right.
See? Uh-huh. You know, the Bible says perfect love cast out all
fear.
Uh-huh.
You know, and it is actually the fear of something that kills people more than that's something itself.
I know. Tell me about it.
You know, and then there was something again that you know you said, which brings things into very good perspective. And I really want us to hammer on that before we break bread tonight. Because somebody's going through a tough time. Somebody's out there, you are listening, you are watching this, you are in a dark place. You are going through some real bashing, chiseling, hammering. Listen, there's something we've learned tonight. We become stones when we come to Christ, who is the chief cornerstone himself. But we are unfinished stones because we are still in the quarry of life. So we cannot escape the chiseling, the hammering, but let us focus on the purpose why we are going through the things we're going through. You know, you said something that is really, really, really so profound, which I really want us to kind of, you know, perch on so that somebody can really, really be encouraged to know. Listen, you are wondering why your own hammering and battering is different from somebody else. What you shared, my hammering, my chiseling, my bashing is different from yours.
It will
why?
Be.
Because there's a purpose. There's my shaping, my being shaped is for the position, the place where I will fit into the temple. So please don't compare your quarry experience with somebody else. You know, let somebody be encouraged tonight that you are not spared the fact that you are now a living stone, but you are also being prepared. And you will go through those chiseling, those shaping, those tough times and those tough moments. And, you know, thank you so much. I don't know if you want to say something again, just to encourage somebody.
Let me give you again. You know, if you go to, again, we won't go there because of time, but Revelation chapter 4. The Bible says the Father was sitting on the throne. There were two colors that emanated from the throne. The Bible says jasper and sardonyx. Now, jasper is green, right. Deep green. This is the color that represents life, the life of God, which is why even in our earth, you could see that green is the color of the leaves of the trees representing life. The other color is red, which again signifies redemption, blood there. Now, by the time you get to Revelation chapter 21, 22, the Bible says that the entire city was green. Jasper. The entire city
took on, even though they were all different stones, the shade that they emanated was jasper. That means they had all taken on the color and the nature of God. They didn't need red anymore. Redemption has been born. It has been done. Mm. So we are redeemed. The red was at the throne. But now the process we are going through is where God is putting himself into us so that we and God become one together. So now, what can be greater than that? You said last month you looked at the greatest inheritance is God himself.
Right.
God said to Abraham, I'm going to be your shield and exceedingly great reward. So the greatest inheritance we all need is God. And the Bible tells us that we are all becoming like him. So that encourages me that no matter how much pain, challenges, difficulty I am going through, what God is using all that for is to put himself into me so that I become like him. You know, so it's important to, again, as I've grown in my walk in God, to put these things in God's perspective. You see, to be a champion, if you ask all the Olympians, who become world champions, at the time when they are triumphing and they are collecting their gold medal, they won't tell you the pain they went through.
Come on.
But you and I know they went through pain. They went through pain. So the same thing is true. That's why Jesus Christ put it this way. He said, for the glory that was set before me. Says, I endured the cross. So I say to everybody listening, everybody watching, everybody who is going to partake of this fellowship today, for the glory that is set before us, we endure our own cross. Don't let's fool ourselves. I've one of the things I've learned to appreciate in my Christian journey is that this earth is full of pain. It's full of wahala. It's full of troubles. It's there. It's full of persecution. It's full of all these things. But God makes me understand. Says, son, I'm going to use all those things to make you beautiful.
Come on.
I'm going to use them to make you excellent. I'm going to use them to make you successful. So that puts all my pains into perspective. It puts it into perspective. And it gives me the endurance, the patience, the perseverance I need, because I can see the end goal. What can be greater than to become like the God who is our Father and our God? That's the goal. That's where we are going. I've learned over time, the goal is not redemption. No, the redemption was just a process. The goal is not even being so successful on earth. All that is just part of a process. The goal is not even the failures on earth. All that too, Pastor Fola, is part of the process. The goal is that we are going to become part of this temple, this new building. The Bible teaches us in Ephesians, it says that we have become the temple of the living God. So today we are the temple. We are being worked on. So everybody embrace your cross. Embrace your shame, embrace your inadequacies, embrace your weaknesses, but don't keep them away from God. The Bible says, bring them to him. It says, come, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. So we come to God, we exchange them, and we receive his own. But you must keep the end at the back forefront of your mind, which is we are being built into a temple that God himself will come and inhabit. Amen. Praise God.
Amen. Amen. Wow. Thank you so much. I believe strongly somebody is encouraged tonight.
Amen.
Somebody is encouraged tonight. Embrace your chiseling, your hammering, your bashing, knowing it is for a higher purpose.
It is. It is.
A higher purpose.
It is. To make you better.
God, that's right. And God will use everything to beautify your life.
He will.
I'm mindful of our time. And, Jesus said we should do something right now. He said we should do it in remembrance of him. Sir, one of the things we must remember was that he endured the cross, like you said.
He did.
He despised the shame. The Bible also tells us he was bruised
for our iniquities.
Bruised. The chastisement of our peace was upon
him.
And by
his stripes. His stripes. Real stripes, or real. Real stripes. The pattern of the Christ.
Yes. Not the stripes as in color, where you just
Real stripes.
Thank you, Lord.
Well, thank God for his grace. Yes. Thank God. Now he's in a place of authority. The Bible says he has been given a name above all names. You know, that at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow. In heaven, on earth, and underneath the earth. Every tongue must confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You know, so we are partaking of that. So we must carry our cross. We must run our race. We must allow God to perfect us. We must complete the work so that we are ready for this temple. And at that time, did you know, like you rightly said, from that reading, by the time he now comes to the end, no more noise, no more pain, no more, as they'll say in my native tongue, no more wahala, you know, no more troubles, no more. Everything is now perfect. You know, everything is now ready and good to go, you know. And we will get there. The Bible says we will get there. This is a given. You know, how do we know Jesus got there? He's a forerunner.
And for someone who is not in Christ.
He must accept the sacrifice of the Lamb. You know, the sacrifice of the Lamb. That's why when, you know, John looked in Revelation chapter 5, he saw a Lamb that was slain, but yet alive. A Lamb that was slain, but yet alive. Why was the Lamb slain? The Lamb was slain so that men, the Bible says, for whosoever, you know, whosoever can believe that Jesus died for them, that person will be saved. It's a simple thing. For God so loved the world that he gave this, his Son, who is also the Lamb of God, so that the salvation of men may be purchased. So you don't start this journey, you know, of being even, because being in the quarry is a very wonderful thing. You see, it means you have come into God. Now God is able to work on you. But God cannot work on you unless you accept the sacrifice of the Lamb, you know, which is the sacrifice which we are remembering. We are able to remember it today because we are privileged because we have come in. But it was really for the world. We are believers. Jesus didn't die for the church. The Bible says, for God so loved the world of sinners. So for anybody hearing me, no, the sacrifice has been paid. You simply need to accept it and then start your own journey, you know, of being beautified, you know, of being of petrification and being made into a part of the body of Christ.
Amen.
Beautiful journey. Wonderful journey, truthful journey.
And the beautiful thing is always with us. He's Emmanuel. We're going through it, he doesn't leave us.
No.
He's not forsaking us. He will see us through. The storms will come, the waters will come, the fire will come, but he will always be there.
He will always be there. The three Hebrew boys.
Read the comments. And then we'll take communion together. Thank you, everybody, for being particular with us in this. Thank you for your comments. Thank you for participating in his process, transforming a painful process, becoming. Thank you so much, sir. I am a temple that is being worked on. People are comprehending these truths. Embrace your pain. It's part of the process. Thank you for that. When we shall see him, we shall become like him, but we shall see him as he is.
As he is.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
As we endure our cross in Jesus' name. All things work together for my good.
For Romans.
Just keep loving God because you are called to his purpose.
Amen.
Someone said, if my Lord was not spared trials and temptations, then who am I? Praise be to God for the glory ahead.
Amen.
Impactful. Thank you so much, sirs. All right. Now we are going to go into a time of communion. What do we need for this communion? Let me bring the screen back. It's awesome what we're doing tonight. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. Let me just kind of go see all my slides and bring on the actual slide. Okay, that's the one. So we need the fruit juice. It's just symbolic. The bread also is symbolic. The fruit juice is symbolic of the blood of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And the bread. If you can just get some biscuit, flat biscuit. You see, they are emblems. And I want us, as we partake tonight, as we have broken the word of God, the bread of life, we receive understanding. Let's receive strength. Amen. Let's receive. Jesus said, when we eat his blood, I mean, drink his blood, eat his body,
become partakers
of him. You know, we are part of him. So let's remind ourselves tonight. Let's be joyful tonight. Count it all joy when you fall into various
temptations.
But it is working out something good.
Amen. Amen.
Perseverance, everything. God is beautifying our lives. So I will read a scripture now to us from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And I pray tonight for someone who's just receiving the understanding. You see, when you come into Christ, you have the privilege to be called the son, the daughter of God. And like you coming into a family, when you come into that family, you begin to enjoy all the privileges of the family. You see, the church is not a building. We've been talking about building stones, building the temple tonight. The church is we, the stones that are being put together to bring about that beautiful temple of God. And God dwells in us right now, working in us. So, Pastor Dewey, if we can bring him back so that we take the communion together. I read 1 Corinthians chapter 11. So I read from verse number 23. It says, for I have received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. That the Lord Jesus, on the same night which he was betrayed, he took bread. Can we all take the bread tonight? Just take the bread. And the Bible said, when he had given thanks, can I ask everyone tonight, thank God for where you are now. Thank God for wherever, whatever situation you're passing through. Thank God there is a purpose. You are being shaped. You are being purposely fitted for that glory, glorious place, the path that God has destined for you in his temple, in his final temple. So the Bible, just thank God. Let's take a moment. Just thank God. Thank God. You have been complaining. You've been crying. You're petrified. Thank God. Just thank God. The Bible says, in all things, give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. The Bible said he gave thanks. He broke it. So you can break the bread. And I decree, yokes are broken over your life. Burdens are lifted in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He said, take it. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Lord Jesus, we remember your sacrifice and we thank you. It is finished. Let's go. We can eat the bread and give thanks. Just thank you, Lord. Thank you. Our yokes become easy. Our burdens become light in the name of Jesus. Yes, you can get the cup now. Let's get the cup. The Bible says from that 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and from verse 25, that in the same manner, he also took the cup. And after supper saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. And Father, once again, as in the same manner, we give thanks for the sacrifice you have made for every one of us. We give thanks for everything you have done. We give thanks for by your stripes, by your own quarry experience, I was healed by the shedding of your blood. And tonight, we declare healing. We declare deliverance upon everyone, upon every household, and every individual tonight. And as we take, we drink the blood of Jesus tonight, we receive all of you and a washing out of all of us in Jesus' name. Can we drink now? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Can we just go into another time? Let's thank the Lord God Almighty. You know, the Bible says by the washing of water, by the word, we are sanctified. Jesus said, you are cleansed through the words that I've spoken to you. The words we have heard tonight, Father, we give you all the glory and praise and honor and adoration for. Thank you for your son. Thank you for using him as a vessel unto honor, for pouring into him, through him, to us, to water everyone watching tonight from all over the world where we are tuned in and those who will watch this broadcast later. Father, thank you for the good work you are doing in us as living sons and as living sacrifices. We know we have to surrender to that altar, your altar, where you are burning out all the impurities in us. We thank you for whatever we're going through right now. We thank you because you are working out your purpose, your plan, making us purpose fit, purpose built, Lord, for your glorious temple. Reign in us, and we pray, perfect everything, the work you've started. The Bible says, he who began the good work in you is faithful to complete it. Thank you for completing, and thank you for perfecting, and thank you for the process. Build us, Lord. Build your church. And thank you for those who are, you have added to your church, even tonight, watching this. I pray you give them the full understanding and comprehension that their sins are forgiven, that as they confess the Lordship of Jesus, they are saved, they are delivered, they are in that temple and in the quarry of life. Lord, the waters will not drown up, the fires will not consume, they will only purify and cleanse us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise
God. Thank you, Dr. Adeoye. Please, everybody, appreciate Dr. Adeoye for us again.
Zero pleasure. Zero pleasure.
Deji.
Praise God.
House tonight from the New Creation Center.
It's a pleasure, sir.
Yes. The pot.
It's wonderful. A pleasure.
We're praying together tonight. And I know somewhere around the vicinity there is your lovely wife, Dr. Nipe.
She's there. Yes. She's there.
Celebrate her for us and all the children.
Will. I will.
Lovely,
I will.
Lovely children.
I will.
Thank
I will.
You for the time tonight.
It's a pleasure. A pleasure.
So please, everyone, that's Dr. Adeoye again breaking bread with us tonight. We appreciate you. You know, there's a word you gave, a prophetic word you gave on the 11th day of the retreat last year. And, you know, prophetically, that 11th day is the month of November. You know what the word you gave, I'll tell you, because I was meditating and I said, thank God for tonight. Thank God you came now, because I think we might consult you again when we enter that glorious month of November.
It will be a pleasure.
Faith to overcome. Hallelujah.
The overcomers. That will be, the overcomer.
You know, God has given us a sneak preview of what is to come. We have the faith to overcome.
Oh, yeah.
So thank you, Dr. Adeoye.
Praise thank God. You. All right, sir. Enjoy. Have a good one.
You will catch up. Catch up with you.
All right. Enjoy, sir.
So, God. That's it. Tonight, you want to join us again on Sunday. Every Sunday this October, we'll be looking at the theme, Building the Temple with Finished Stones. The foundation has been laid tonight. We will build on that by the help of the Holy Spirit. And if you want to contact us, that's the number, 078-776-2207. Or send us an email, info@loveassembly.co.uk. Our website is www.loveassembly.org. www.loveassembly.org. If you are on the Facebook live stream, just check out the comment section and you will see our details. If you want to contact us further, you want to join us tomorrow, we have a prayer meeting, 7:30 to 8:30. We pray every Friday. The details, it's a conference call. You can dial in and join to that password, the access code that will be given. You want to support all the charitable works we do, support the live broadcast and everything. And there's some projects also that will be coming up we're looking into, supporting the community, being a blessing, being a light to the world, to the environment where we are. Listen, whatever trial you're going through, you've heard tonight, it's beautifying you for that beautiful place, your special place in that temple of God. So thank you for joining us again tonight. Our next broadcast is going to be on Sunday at 11 a.m. is going to be our next service. So you can join us as we continue in this wonderful series. I'm trying to bring it back on my screen. Let me end the show and bring that particular screen up. So the series again is Building the Temple with Finished Stones. You are that stone. Let God finish the work. The good work he has begun. Thank you once again. We take a worship song as I sign out tonight. Enjoy the rest of your evening, the rest of your night, the rest of your weekend, and see you. If you join us for prayer, 7:30 tomorrow, 11 a.m. Sunday will be the next live broadcast. God bless you and keep on shining and enjoy and endure the quarry. It is for your good. God bless you. Good night. Bye for now.